Don't know what that means, but
I'm sure they just want to hear about fish.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Secretary Hepler. I'm John Lott, the Aquatic Resources Chief with Game, Fish, and Parks. And this afternoon, I've got the finalization action sheets to present you based on the proposals that were made by the commission at your September meeting. The on page number 14, we have the proposed regulation changes that have to deal with general provisions and fishing seasons. If it would please the chair, I can simply go through that list and maybe give a little bit of background, then pause if there's any questions on each one.
Sure.
The first one there would be to modify the general provisions in the fishing season chapters and repeal the regulations and definitions that pertain to liberalized fishing. Liberalized fishing is in the rule book because in the past, every year we would have a number of waters that we would list for higher daily limits, number of lines you'd be able to use. But over time, we've realized that the harvest potential is just not there on those waters. And it's also hard to predict which of the waters would kill any particular winter.
Excuse me, questions or comments?
Moving on then to number two, under general provisions, there's a proposal to add a definition of possession limits and allow for an unlimited possession limit at one's domicile. What that basically means is that there currently is a daily and a possession limit on each species of game fish, or it's stated as unlimited. And if you're in transit or not at your domicile, that possession limit would apply. So as an example for walleyes, if you're in transit, if you're at a trailer or a cabin that you own, then you'd have to stay with the 8 walleyes in possession. They'd also have to be packaged such that they can be counted. If you're at your domicile, there would not be a restriction on the number of walleyes you'd be able to possess. That would apply then to all fish species for which there would be daily in possession limits.
Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you. Commissioner Phillips here. John, this domicile possession limit, I have questions about that. Under what circumstances can one of our conservation officers go in someone's home, someone's domicile, and look in their freezer?
That's an excellent, through the chair, that's excellent. Yeah, I was going to say we'll have Mike Klazowski, the regional supervisor for the Northeast region, share some of that information with you.
Good afternoon, commission members. Mike Klasowski with the Wildlife Division up in the northeast part of the state. I'd be happy to answer any questions, get some information out there. Generally speaking, I can provide some information maybe on what some of the enforcement action that we've taken over the years, and maybe talk about some of the things that we see out there on the countryside when we're working. Generally speaking, daily limit is just exactly that, how many fish you can keep in a day. Possession limit is your combined total. And with this rule change, we'd be looking at modifying that a little bit. You'd essentially have your possession limit still while you're out, hunting, fishing, recreating. You'd have essentially a transportation possession limit. But when you got to your domicile, which is your home, the place you intend on going back to might be a place that you have some tax implications. It's a place where oftentimes exactly that you're going to be coming home. You may go out and travel, but you do come home at the end of those travels. So that's really where this rule change could possibly affect sportsmen and women. Past enforcement history, the vast majority of our law enforcement work typically deals with daily limits. Examples of daily limit infractions are people that are going out and simply overbegging, they're keeping too many fish, or they might be going out and doing multiple trips, things like that, where we are contacting them. Typically, it might be at a campground, might be at a motel, and in some situations it is at their domicile. It could be at a camp, in a camper, etc. Looking at the definition of domicile, domicile is defined as a person's established, fixed, and permanent home to which the person, whenever absent, has a present intention of returning. We utilize that definition right now when it comes to claiming residency, so we're fairly familiar with that definition. Looking at some of the implications of domicile inspections, the public has protections provided by the Constitution. Essentially, when it comes to domicile inspections, going to somebody's home and looking at a possible violation, you have two methods of doing that inspection or completing that investigation. One, that person will give you consent to go into their home and do an inspection. Maybe you explain that there's a reported violation, or maybe there was a violation on the water and you do end up at that person's domicile. So, as I mentioned, two ways. One, consent, and then number two, you have a search warrant that basically describes that there's been a violation committed and some of that evidence is likely in that location. So that's where you have some of the implications. Again, this proposal only affects the domicile possession limit. When it comes to domicile inspections too, they're also a little bit more tricky. When you get into a domicile, you have family members oftentimes or friends that are living there, and you have situations where some of that game can be gifted. So oftentimes they have enough people in that location to account for all the fish or other game that are in that place. There's no requirements for the fish to be counted. They oftentimes can be frozen in a ball, so you have to thaw those out. There's a lot of different things and challenges that go along with those. Again, most of our law enforcement work has gone with enforcing daily limits. But occasionally, we do run into situations where we are enforcing possession limits at a domicile, but by far it would be the lesser of the two. With that, any questions, I sure will try to answer.
Commissioner Locken.
Commissioner Locken here. I'm just a little uncomfortable with giving this tool away out of the toolbox. You know, we provide all the fish hatcheries and stock the ponds and all that stuff. We still, you know, we're trying to provide recreation, not subsistence for the whole winter or something like that, you know. It's probably my lack of knowledge, but it seems like we should be holding on to a little bit of leverage on this if somebody's getting a little on the greedy side.
Yeah, sure. Commissioner Locken can certainly understand those concerns. Had a number of conversations with law enforcement staff, non-law enforcement staff, all around the state, and considered a lot of those different items, and considered possibly of going with maybe increasing the domicile possession limit to maybe 3, 4, 5, etc. And in the end, just looking at the numbers that we were talking, staff's recommendation was to go with an unlimited domicile possession limit, just because of all the issues that, once again, when you get into that domicile, there's family members there, there's friends, and oftentimes that game can be gifted, and usually that, for the most part, has solved the vast majority of the issues. But we have made some very good cases on people that are taking advantage of the resource, no question about it. Officers have worked really hard on a number of those cases.
I was just going to say, I share your concern, and I think for the same reasons, and I understand, you know, sometimes we're saying it's hard to enforce these rules, and I'm sure that's true, but as I think Ken was, one of the points he was trying to make today is a lot of what we have for rules are hard to enforce, and it really is, everybody's, you're depending on your honor and doing what's right. And it seems by having this possession limit, it encourages doing what's right. And there's, I don't know, but my guess is there have been cases where having that as an additional charge or two to make has been probably helpful and appropriate. Is that fair?
You know, Commissioner Jensen, agree with you 100%. There has been a number of cases, as mentioned before, that were either an additional charge or that might have been exactly what the violation was, where our officers have gone into those situations and made a really good case where somebody was taking advantage of the resource. Definitely more rare than a daily limit violation, but still, absolutely.
Mr. Secretary. To be clear on this, though, I mean, they're not taking advantage of the resource. Is that there's no biological reason to have possession limits in place, no biological reason. And so if the commission wants to talk about what thinks fair or not, that's certainly well within your prerogative to have those kind of discussions. But please do not think that there's, you know, Mike, and I'm not trying to give you a bad time, this is not a biological issue. It's an enforcement tool, which is very difficult to do. You need probable cause to go in these people's house and look at this thing. Many times they may be looking at this like there may be a drug infraction or something, domestic violence, some other crime out there, then they find this along with it or not. And so I'm sure there's CEOs that like to see this in their toolbox, but it's not used very often. And so at that point, you know, I know people who have more than a bag limit, you know, three bag limits of walleye in their freezer. I mean, they're not criminals. And so it is... And this is one, you know, Russ isn't here. He always wants to know what I'm thinking about. This is this one where it just makes no sense to me to have this in place. Because what if they have 4 or 5 daily bag limits? That doesn't make a difference. Those daily bag limits are established by John and his staff because biologically allowable and sustainable. Now, if you want to have 5 of those, you want to have 10 of those, it makes no difference. That resource is already out. And so, but there again, it's well within your purview to say what you think is fair. And then that's just a question, is a flower pretty or not? And at that point, I'll be quiet. But if it's something over, I think, truly an enforcement tool, and Mike, you can disagree with me on the record, I have no problem with that, zero. Or John, if you disagree with my interpretation when I'm saying biologically, then you need to correct me, and I'll stand corrected. But that puts in a different category to go on the other side, what you think people should have or shouldn't, and then I will be quiet, Mr. Chairman.
What is the limit? Forget in your domicile.
Currently, Mr. Chair, for most fish species, it would be twice the daily limit. And then, as Mike said, you are able to gift to family members and friends in that domicile. As an example, myself, I could harvest 32 walleyes and have them in my freezer, having my 8, and then gifting my spouse 8 and each of my children 8.
So my impression is this type of regulation has been around forever. There must have been a good reason for it to be on the books in the first place and continued or not?
Mr. Chair, I would say the big thing is to have it on the theory in the past was to have it on the books to help address waste where you have a person who's harvesting a lot more than they're able to use. And then at some point, they're disposing of the fish out of their freezer because their freezer burned. One of the other things that it has been recommended for is that you, at the time that you have your possession limit in your freezer at home at your domicile, at that point, you should not be out there harvesting additional fish on the lake. But I have yet to meet an angler who has said, well, I have 8 walleyes in my freezer. I guess I'm not going fishing today. It's not being used by the public as a check to how often that they're fishing and harvesting.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Commissioner Peterson?
Commissioner Peterson, that particular instance, I don't feel that person's a criminal because the one that maybe takes too many in one day is the person that we need to watch for more than the one that doesn't get them cooked as fast as he gets them. His daily, if he likes to fish, and he gets out there and fishes. And fishes 3 days in a row and doesn't take time to have a fish fry. Right now, you know, if the yes, he can gift or whatever, but I don't see that those people are criminals, and I think the ones that are taking too many in one day can maybe be watched in different ways than that if they're taking some home coming back, and usually people like to report on those kind of things. So that's just my comment, is the freezer burn part or whatever. Their fishermen love to fish, you know, so.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
One more question. You know, we've all seen the pictures in the International Game Warden or whatever, where somebody finds 800 perch. Is that usually in a car, in a camper, in a fish house, or is that many times in the domicile?
Yeah. Mike Klosowski, Wildlife Division. Commissioner Phillips, those violations, they really truly do occur all over the place. We have encountered about just about every situation that a person can imagine, from storing them in their vehicle, storing them in campers, storing them in their domicile. Those violations really occur all over the boards, so it's hard to really pinpoint one situation. I would say that a common trend as far as overbagging on fish certainly is when you travel to a destination place to do some fishing. You're there to do some fishing, and sometimes the wheels start turning and bad decisions are made. That's a common trend. You know, going back to some of the domicile violations that we've had, or possession limit violations that we've had, more often than not, there's other violations that are happening there. And in that situation, oftentimes the officer is making a decision that not only makes sense in the field, but also will make sense in the court system. And sometimes you're going to go with the best situation. So even in those situations where we have made some possession limit violation cases, there oftentimes would have likely been other violations where that person was taking advantage of the resource and still would have some sort of violation, even if we did go down this path.
Yes, Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp here. You know, I really appreciated Commissioner Peterson's comments, because I think we have daily limits for a reason, and I think they make sense, and I think they're practical. The possession limit in your home, in your freezer, I think is something that I personally don't feel it's very important for us to be concerned about, and I think the practicality of it is it's a little bit like, you know, don't tear the tag off your mattress type thing, in case the mattress inspector comes. I just don't see us really spending our time wisely by worrying about how much is in the freezer. And so I think this is a very reasonable proposal, I think it makes sense from both a practical standpoint. If you're going fishing and you always have the family over pre-Thanksgiving to have a huge fish feed, and you've saved up for it, I think that makes sense. I think that's wise use of our resources, and the daily limit takes care of having too many in my mind. So I have no problems with this particular issue.
Taking the tag off was pretty good.
Any other questions or comments or statements? Are we going to make a motion one by one, or what are we going to do?
It's whatever your pleasure is, Mr. Chair. We'd have to back up and address item one, though, first, the liberalized one, and then move through the list.
Do you want to finish?
I think the next two will go pretty quickly. If we move on to number three there on page 14, this is simply removing the closed season on the Minnesota-South Dakota boundary waters on game fish species. There currently is a closed season in the spring, and we've been working with the state of Minnesota. They also currently, in their rule promulgation process, have a similar regulation. So if this were to be finalized, there's a good chance that it would be for both states, that it'd be standard. It would also match the inland regulations in South Dakota. Any questions on number three? And number four would be removing stream closures in the northeastern portion of South Dakota. That would increase angling opportunity for a small number of anglers, and it would be in association with another a proposed rule change that would open up a pike and catfish spearing year-round in inland waters.
Could we just take a minute, and what would your response be to Ken Adele today and his concerns about these various, like if we do spearfishing and then we could go back up to one? And because I know he's very genuinely, seriously means what he says, and I mean, he's very sincere about it.
Certainly, Mr. Chair. On each of the proposals that are before the commission today that have to do with spearing, there has been consideration of if they would have a biological impact on the resource. And after review of those, we don't believe there are any biological impacts. Here, the issue is that, and it's very nice to have a mic up here still, because he happens to work in the Northeast. And in the Northeast, we have some situations where on one side of the road, you'll have a tribal property. On the other side, you'll have property that is not in the reservation. And currently, a person would be able, or tribal member would be able to spearfish on the tribal land, but across the road on the side that isn't in the reservation, they would not be able to. This would, by allowing these streams to be open and then allowing the catfish and the pike to be taken, and the overall harvest would likely not be excessive. It would provide an additional opportunity, and it would help to standardize things in the field for our staff. With regard to number one, repealing the liberalized rules, those, again, historically we had used those where at the beginning of every fall there'd be a list of lakes that would be opened over the winter for liberalized fishing, where you'd be able to harvest a higher number of fish, usually three times the daily limit, and you were able to use methods of take beyond hook and line, like spearing and netting and other things. And really what we found is that that over time, that as the oxygen levels begin to go down in those lakes, it's very hard to catch the fish in those waters. There also are times where we might have a lake on the liberalized list and it goes a number of years without killing. So you have a body of water where you've been encouraging the harvest to be excessive, but we haven't had an issue where that body of water actually was lost as a resource. So it is something that the commission would always have the ability to do on particular bodies of water. There may be a case in the future where there's a body of water where the department's planning to reclaim that lake and go in and poison the fish community and start over. In a situation like that, there would be that opportunity to still, on a case-by-case basis, raise the daily limits and change the methods of take.
Thanks.
Mr. Chair, one other thing. I believe Mr. Adele mentioned something about ponds with bass in them.
Yes.
And where those ponds would be lost. Typically, those have not been bodies of water we have liberalized. What we generally do there is the individuals in the public would be working with their local fishery staff or conservation officer to harvest and to move those fish. And in that situation, if they're working with the department, the daily limits and all that are not an issue. If it's a fisheries management activity involving the department, they would certainly be covered in that situation.
Okay. Well, let's take them one by one. Proposal one. Anybody want to make a motion on proposal one?
Move to approve.
Any question? Any discussion? Hearing no discussion. All in favor of proposal one, say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Number one passes. Number two.
Move Move to approve.
The mattress tag rule.
Second.
Any discussion? Any discussion?
All in favor of proposal two, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
There, roll call.
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips? Sharp?
Aye.
All right. Proposal three. Any motions?
So moved.
It's getting late. In a second?
Any discussion on proposal three? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Three passes. Number four. Any motions on four?
So moved.
Any? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? Four passes.
Mr. Chairman, what would be your pleasure for handling the rest of the proposals that we have before us on fishing rules?
Is the next one aquatic invasive?
The next one would be fish limits and snagging up paddlefish. This would be the one that would have the various minimum length limits. And
can we let's address the ones that we could get done by five, and you would know better than I. So we have about 20 minutes.
I won't say that we can get through them all. I'll say that I think we certainly can get through page 15.
All right, let's do that.
The first one there, Mr. Chair, would be removing the white bass and rock bass daily and possession limits. Currently 25 each, and then 50 in possession. These are species that are typically underutilized. We do allow harvest of white bass by commercial fishermen as well, and it is expected that any increased harvest would not impact these populations negatively.
Is there a motion on this proposal?
There.
They're tired of making motions. Would you like to make a motion?
Okay, I so moved.
Second.
Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Passes.
Move on to number two, item two, the daily in possession limit restrictions on special management waters. There are a number of proposed changes here. The first one under A would be the elimination of the one trout over 14-inch regulation from Black Hills Lakes. This would mean the regulation would still be in place on streams on a daily basis. An angler would only be able to harvest one trout 14 inches or larger from streams. But on lakes, the majority of the lake fisheries we have are stocked. They're put and take fisheries. The objective is to have anglers harvesting the fish. But over time, we have the problem of we're raising a superior product, and a lot of the fish we stock are near or over that 14-inch size. So by having that restriction in place on lakes, we're inhibiting a person's ability to harvest those fish. So
okay, is there a motion on proposal
2A or
I'm sorry, yes. Well, no, are you going to go all
I can go through all of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, please go through
like.
All of them.
Certainly. On B, that would the proposal is to establish a minimum length limit of 24 inches and a daily limit of one lake trout for all waters in the Black Hills Fish Management Area. There are now a lake trout in Deerfield. We've had this particular regulation on Pactola for a number of years. It's been successful, and applying it to Deerfield would help to establish that as a naturally reproducing population if that ability there exists. In association with removing the one over 14 regulation on reservoirs, if there isn't a change in the lake trout regulations, it would allow an angler to harvest up to five lake trout a day that that would be of any size in Deerfield Reservoir. The third one, or C, would be removing the 15-inch minimum size restriction on walleyes for all waters that have a four-fish walleye a daily limit, except those that are undergoing evaluation. And what this basically means is that there are seven bodies of water that would be included here. They'd include Lake Mitchell, a Richmond Lake, a Pickerel Lake, a Clear Lake, Roy Lake, Enemy Swim Lake, and Elm Lake. And those seven lakes, the walleye populations in there are such that this particular regulation has not been beneficial in improving those walleye populations. They're lakes where we typically struggle to have stocked product do well, and removing the regulation would provide additional opportunity without reducing the quality of the fishery. Under D, on black bass, this proposed change would remove a combination of 15-inch minimum size restrictions and 14 to 18-inch protected slot restrictions on a total of 35 bodies of water, with the exceptions of Burke Lake, New Wall Lake, and Lake Yankton. With Burke and New Wall, they're a part of a current research project, and Lake Yankton is a border water. This would be the same as with the walleye regulations, in that evaluations have determined that removing these regulations would not have a negative impact on the fisheries. With regards to Mr. Adele's comments, we do have angler survey information on both Sheridan and Stockade Lake, and that information would indicate that the harvest of bass without the minimum size restrictions would not be excessive. And then number E there would be to add a 28-inch minimum length and a daily limit of one for walleye on Horseshoe Lake in Day County. That would be the third lake in the state where we would have that regulation. It would help to provide an opportunity for anglers to catch a higher percentage of larger fish. And we don't expect a lot of fish to be over that 28-inch size, but over time what you would get is a higher abundance of fish and a higher occurrence in the catch of fish between 20 and 28 inches.
So how about we address number two in its entirety with a motion? Anybody want to make a motion?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, yes.
2C, remove the 15-inch minimum size restriction for walleyes. What's the history of that? How long has it been on? And could you talk about that a little bit? Thank you.
With walleye regulations in the state, specifically the minimum length limit, we've had those on a number of waters since about 1990. We started with a 14-inch minimum. Over time, when we established a walleye regulation toolbox, we standardized the minimum size that we used at 15 inches. A lot of these bodies of water, at least from my memory, waters like Enemy Swim, Clear, Pickerel, those had that regulation applied in the early 90s. And the types of waters those are, we either have a very stable walleye population, there's not a lot of boom or bust or big walleye year classes like we've talked about on lakes like Bitter or Ponset. They're pretty stable walleye populations. The issue for us is to add new recruits into those populations. The issue is not having to protect fish till they reach that 15-inch mark. It's been over 20-some years that we've been studying those particular lakes, and we haven't seen a benefit of the regulation.
How do we judge whether these changes get where we want to go or where you want to go, or when will we do that? Or,
Mr. Chair, that would be ongoing. These These populations, the majority of them, we're surveying every year for fish population status, for how the stockings are working. A number of them, like Pickerel Enemy Swim and Clear Lake, we routinely have creel surveys on. And really the question there with those lakes is, how do we get more recruits into those lakes, into the walleye population, not how we protect the fish that are already in there. But those evaluations are ongoing, and one of the challenges that staff have right now that they're working on is to better define the regulation evaluation process. After we have that done this fall, we can certainly share that that with the commission as well for how we evaluate particular regulations.
So if we get the question, which some of us probably will, I mean, how are we going to judge success, and when are we going to undertake that judgment? The best answer is what?
On those, we learn as we go. We've had a number of years that we've been studying these lakes, and we just haven't seen the benefit of that 15-inch restriction. It hasn't improved the number of walleyes that are above 15 inches in the population.
Okay. Well, I think Marianne moved approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor of proposal 2, A through E, say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries to 3, huh?
Yes, moving on, Mr. Chair, on to number 3 there, the snagging seizing in special management waters. That would simply include the addition of archery or illegal bow and arrow as a method of a take in the Lake Francis Case paddlefish season. That's a May season. Currently it's open to snagging with a limited number of tags, and there has been desire on the part of some people to add in archery there. It is not expected that it will increase the success rate or the harvest rate of paddlefish. Snagging is probably an easier method to take a paddlefish in that lake. And because there are no size restrictions on the harvest of the paddlefish there, adding a method like archery that would be a lethal method where you're not able to release fish is not a concern.
Motion to approve.
Second. Thank you. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? 3 passes. Could we get the next 2 done so that then you're done?
I think so, Mr. Chair. I think so. If you turn to page number 16, this page specifically addresses the proposals that have to do with the spearing chapter. The first one there would be to modify the rough fish spearing regulation in the South Dakota-Nebraska boundary waters to open the rough fish spearing season to 24 hours a day, year-round, and also to add in crossbows as a method of take for rough fish. And this would basically standardize it with our inland waters as well as with Nebraska on the boundary waters.
Maybe for these, you want to go through all of them and we can have a motion.
I certainly can, Mr. Chair. The second one there would be the areas that are open to spearing of game fish. And here what would be or is proposed is to open the entirety of Lake Sharp and Francis Case to game fish spearing. Currently at the upper end of each of those reservoirs, there is a closed area. B would be removing the requirement to purchase the game fish spearing and archery permit. And that permit was initially in place to help us identify a user base for spearing and archery. That was done. We surveyed those individuals as well as anglers who do not participate in those aspects of take of game fish. And that information has been used since then to help formulate staff recommendations. It is not needed any longer, though, to maintain that that database of users. For C there, that would be changing the Northern Pike and the Catfish dates for inland waters to all inland waters in year round. A bit earlier when we talked about the removal of the closures in the Northeast, that was viewed in association with this, where these would be by opening those streams to spearing and archery for catfish and pike, it would help standardize some regulations there. And D would be to change the border water game fish season with Nebraska to be July 1 through December 31st. Again, that would standardize with Nebraska. And allowing for the take of game fish below Gavin's Point Dam. Item 3 would be prohibiting spearing and archery in Angostura Marina and Lewis and Clark Marina. It's viewed as a safety issue and to help reduce a boat congestion in those areas.
Thank you. Motion on spearing?
Mr. Chairman.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Phillips.
2A, opening the entirety of Lake Sharp and Lake Francis Case to game fish spearing and archery. Right now, it's open except in the very upper areas.
That is correct. As an example, Commissioner Phillips, Lake Sharp, it's currently from the upper end of the highway bridge up to Owyhee Dam is closed to taking of game fish, but not taking of rough fish or catfish.
And I remember the discussion we had a couple of years ago. It's going to add to congestion up there. We had people wanting it open, and we decided, I believe, to. Didn't we grant them for like a week or something like that? Was there congestion there? Was there problems when we granted that exception?
This is one I might call on Regional Supervisor Mark Ohm to help answer. I've been phoning friends a lot this afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Mark Ohm, Regional Supervisor in the central part of the state for the Wildlife Division. Chair, in response to the question, we did not see a large congestion in the last few years of that tournament, partly due to some of the agreements that we made with the tournament organizer. During those tournaments, we had he voluntarily closed off small portions of that area that traditionally caused those congested areas, and did not allow his tournament fishermen to dive in that area. During that open period, however, those areas were open to anybody that was not in the tournament. Anybody that was not in the tournament could still dive in that area, and we still did not see the congestion that we had in the past. So
going forward, you don't see a problem with people between the bridge and the dam?
Chairman, our thought on that is that if we were to open this up for a limited time period where it was, you had an opening day, quote unquote, there would be potential for people to create issues at that point. But being open year round, we don't feel that there's going to be any one day that really gets that many people in the water.
Any more discussion or comments or questions? Not all in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Better have a roll call.
Boyd? Aye. Locken?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
No.
Sharp?
Aye.
Five and one.
Passes. Next, please.
Mr. Chair, on page 17, we have the last page of fishing regulation finalizations. These all have to do with invasive species regulations. I think we can probably take all four of these at one time.
Please.
The first one is simply adding starry stonewort to the list of aquatic invasive species. This is a species that's approaching our borders from Minnesota. Two would be to allow exemptions for commercial plant harvesters and lakeshore property owners from the prohibition on possessing aquatic invasive species if they're operating within the requirements of an approved work plan or permit. Three would be allowing the department secretary to authorize a certain boats to keep plugs in while trailered. We already have an exception for emergency response vehicles. What this would do is there are tournaments where there's very close supervision of the tournament by Game Fish and Parks, and it is in the best interest of the fish and the ability to release those fish to transport them in their live wells rather than a lot of handling of the fish. And this would allow for the secretary to authorize that. We currently have an exception for the secretary to be able to authorize a transport of lake water. This would just provide the vessel to transport that lake water in. And number four would be to add Lake Yankton onto the list of containment waters for required decontaminations and administrative rule that have to do with moored boats or boats that aren't able to drain all their water. It's the containment waters that are tied to those decontaminations. So we'd basically just be adding another body of water in there where decontaminations would be a requirement.
Commissioner Boyd.
Commissioner Boyd here. With regard to the tournaments, I certainly trust the secretary's discretion and the department's policing. Would you have extra, not security, but extra officers checking as people leave these tournaments just to make sure?
What we...
Plugs are out.
We have is there typically would be a travel route that's established and shared at the rules meeting. The aquatic invasive species rules and requirements would be gone over, and a lot of the municipalities would have identified a disposal site for that water so it's not entering another body of water. So the intent of the rule would be met in that we are not transporting the water between bodies of water, and there would be that oversight by both the department and the tournament officials to ensure that the boats are properly operating.
I have a motion. Second, anybody? Any more discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye, please.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Thank you, John.
Thank you.
So I think we could do Black Hills elk license raffle yet. Or do you want to wait?
Russ wants to be part of that.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Is there something else we should try to do? Not so much worried about today as tomorrow.
Do the land
donation?